Hello and welcome to Maximizing Social Impact, a podcast about social ventures being produced by Dallas Social Venture Partners. I'm Anna DeHaro, the Public Affairs Director for Clear Channel Radio, Dallas-Fort Worth, and today our topic is going to be the Edward M. Kennedy Serve America Act. What exactly is the Serve America Act? Why is it important? And how is it relevant to social ventures? We're going to find that out today. And my guests are Elizabeth Seal, who is the President and CEO of One Star Foundation, as well as Stacy Caldwell, the Executive Director of Dallas Social Venture Partners. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, thank you so much, Anna, for being here.
Now, I want to start with you, Elizabeth, or can I call you Liz?
Liz is fine.
Liz, I want to start with you. What exactly is the Edward M. Serve America Act?
In a nutshell, it's a bipartisan effort to expand opportunities for Americans of all ages to serve their country.
Is this similar to what Edward Kennedy's brother, former President John F. Kennedy, started with VISTA and Peace Corps?
It's very much in alignment with that original authorizing legislation for Peace Corps and VISTA, yes.
So it's kind of like Edward Kennedy taking his hat off to his brother?
Well, I think so in some respects, but he's also taking his hat off to the fact that America recognizes the power of service and volunteerism across a host of social issues, emergency response, and in just many ways, the way that we approach social issues in our country depends highly on service and volunteering.
When did the Serve America Act become law?
It became law in March of 2009, just a few months ago, and will go into effect October 1st. And we are still waiting to see what it means. It has a lot of very interesting parts to it, some of which we're going to talk about today regarding social innovation. And it will take effect October 1st, 2009.
When you say social innovation, what do you mean by that?
Social innovation is a way, a new way, different innovative way to address social issues.
Okay. So what is going to be the most significant and unique thing about this act?
I think the most significant and unique thing about the Edward Kennedy, the Kennedy-Hatch Act, is that it raises the awareness and the national dialogue around the power of service and volunteering. And what I mean is, volunteers serve in communities throughout the country every day. They always have. But this is an opportunity to allow more people to have serious engagement and engagement for impact on a variety of levels. It creates a pipeline for service, effectively addressing issues in our K-12 schools and providing opportunities for our youngsters to serve their communities all the way up through our experienced senior adults, expanding opportunities for them to have meaningful service as well.
Did you feel like this kind of legislation was really needed? Didn't we already have something like this in place? We hear constantly about the importance of volunteering.
I think that we all are very well aware that throughout every state there is some sort of volunteer service effort. It's often recognized in our governor's offices across the states. And yet, it was in 1993 when the Corporation for National and Community Service was formed that the federal government took a real interest in promoting service and volunteerism in a much broader context to allow for opportunities for Americans to serve domestically, similarly to our international service with Peace Corps.
I've heard a lot about AmeriCorps. Is this related to what Edward M. Kennedy's Serve America Act is all about?
Yes, it is. The act itself proposes to expand the core of service for national service programs, which includes AmeriCorps, from 75,000 Americans serving every year to 250,000 Americans serving every year. Those are not just in our AmeriCorps programs, but also in our Senior Corps programs as well.
Stacy Caldwell, you're the executive director of the Dallas Social Venture Partners,
yes.
DSVP.
Uh-huh.
Why is something like this important to you guys?
Well, what's interesting about this legislation and actually the time that we're in is that more and more Americans are wanting to give back to their communities in a meaningful way and to be strategic about it. At the same time, our sector as a whole, the social sector being those nonprofits that serve the people and the foundations that help resource those nonprofits, we're kind of getting a better sense of how to address systemic issues. And so we're really maturing as a nation, as a country, of how we can really utilize the intellectual and human capital that we have as a nation. And so embedded in this legislation are a lot of opportunities for us to not only have more people power on the ground, but also to think differently about how we create the changes that are necessary for us to affect issues that we've been facing for a very long time as a country.
It's interesting that you use the term strategic, because mm-hmm. a lot of times when people think about volunteering, they think, I just have to give my time. That's it. That's all I have to do. Just tell me where to go and I'll do it. But you said be strategic about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Why is that important?
Well, I think that there's a lot of ways that you can tackle a problem. In the past, we've been somewhat reactionary to some of the problems in our communities. And now, after years of working on issues like homelessness and education and healthcare, we're all beginning to share some of the best practices. And now we need the tools and instruments to really take it to the next level. And within the legislation, there are two specific pieces that social venture partners around the country are interested in, and that is the capacity building piece and the social innovation fund.
Okay. Liz talked a little bit about social innovation. What's the difference between, say, social innovation and social entrepreneurship?
Well, I love that question. We get it a lot. So there's three kind of tribal language of social venture partners and others around the country who are kind of taking this work to the next level. And you'll often hear them as social entrepreneurship, social enterprise, and social innovation. First of all, if you can just take the social out of it, you can recognize that those are all three separate things. An entrepreneur is not an enterprise, and an enterprise is not an innovation. So when you put that social aspect to it, what it's doing is it's recognizing that there is a social impact of that entrepreneur, of that enterprise, or of that innovation. Did that make sense? I can go deeper, but just
go,
from the very beginning.
Go a little bit deeper for me.
So a social entrepreneur, and this field is really emerging. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there who are actually doing the arm wrestling to really define what these are. But just working knowledge of these terms, a social entrepreneur can be either the purist, somebody who sees a problem, has the passion and an idea to go out and affect it by creating a business model that can affect that social issue. So one example of a social entrepreneur is John Wood with Room to Read. He left Microsoft and he created Room to Read to go build libraries and schools in developing countries. He is kind of a pure social entrepreneur. However, we also recognize social entrepreneurs on the ground who might not ever just quit their job and go off to create their own. They're social entrepreneurs in my partnership who are actually bringing business and entrepreneurial skills to impact those social missions. So that's a social entrepreneur is an individual.
So they have, say, their full-time job, and then they're social entrepreneurs within the community. Going into nonprofit sector and saying, here's how I can help you.
The bringing the entrepreneurial expertise and ideas to social problems in its essence. And they may play out as very successful ventures, and they may be a program that they launched within a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So again, a social entrepreneur is an individual. A social enterprise is either an arm of a nonprofit that is making dollars that goes right back into that mission. So it helps them come up with a different revenue stream that funds their mission. So Girl Scout Cookies is actually a social enterprise. They've been around a while.
Who'd have thunk?
Yes.
I went door-to-door selling them. See? I was a social enterprise, or at least
a social
part of
entrepreneur. And so social enterprises also are being defined in new ways in for-profit models. So you have Tom's Shoes, for-profit. But it's a social enterprise, and then you have all these other new tools that we don't have to go into. And then finally, a social innovation. This is really kind of the pinnacle of an idea in this world. It's where you really know that it has the ability to really spark and take off and move quickly across a region or a state or a country. And there's certain things you're looking for that indicate that it might become a social innovation. So things like you might be familiar with the charter school movement.
Yes.
The charter school movement can be considered a social innovation. Teach for America, citizen schools. I can name all the educational ones because that's our focus. But the unique aspects of these are things like public-private partnerships, you know, the ability for it to move beyond just one institution, to have multi-layered leadership. It's not all in one place. It's not the power isn't in one place. It's distributed across the community. It has civic participation involved, and so it can be replicated. I don't know. I need your help on this one.
Well,
too.
Well, what I think about when I think of social innovation, because my background is in part in human services, in service delivery, is that we know that we have been funding social issues through our philanthropists and through state government in the same way year after year, and yet we're not getting the results that we want to see in order to really change or to address the systemic or root cause of the social issues that we hope to change.
Do you find like the public is looking at those social issues and saying, you know what, I was born in the 1960s or I was born in the 70s and we're still dealing with the same problems, whether it's dropout prevention, whatever, why am I not seeing more headway?
Exactly. That's what everyone's saying, from government to your neighbor in the grocery store to school administrators to the heads of nonprofits and foundations. So when we think about how we fund strategies in the nonprofit sector, to begin looking at socially innovative ways to address those issues, rather than just, there will always be a need to fund emergent need, because there will always be a need for crisis intervention. But what are we doing to bring new innovative strategies to address those social issues, to actually move people out of certain social
situations. Cycle of poverty.
That's right. And it's not that we necessarily think that we will end poverty for all time, but should we keep seeing the same faces over and over, day after day, in the soup kitchen line? I would say no. I would say, what else are we doing? What other kind of services? How are we moving those people to self-sufficiency?
My guest, once again, Elizabeth Seal, who is the president, CEO of One Star Foundation, and Stacy Caldwell, executive director of Dallas Social Venture Partners. Elizabeth, what exactly is One Star Foundation?
Well, thank you for asking. When in 1993, when at the federal level, the Corporation for National and Community Service was formed, there were also state service commissions in every state and in the territories that would receive AmeriCorps funding to place AmeriCorps members in areas of need throughout each state. One Star serves in part as our state service commission to receive AmeriCorps funding. But the history of service and volunteering in the state of Texas goes way back. And one of the first formal, at least in my understanding, one of the first formal iterations of that acknowledgement was under Governor Briscoe in the 70s with the creation of a Texas Service and Volunteerism Commission. Since that time, we've gone through many iterations with government recognizing service in different ways. So to the point that under Governor Perry in 2003, he chose to combine the state of Texas emphasis on service and volunteerism with the Commission for National Service as a separate 501c3 called One Star. And to complete that transformation, just recently in 2008, we have taken on the title of One Star, Texas Center for Social Impact, because we're in a very unique position to look across the nonprofit sector in the state of Texas and see how we can be a facilitator, a convener, and provide that spark for innovative strategies across the social sector to solve social issues in the state of Texas.
How are you guys involved with Dallas Social Venture Partners?
That is a great, not nearly deeply enough, uh-huh. but we have plans to be more collaborative in the future. We just actually met this week mm-hmm. and learned a little bit more about mm-hmm. their model. And it's fascinating because at the national level, we have been talking about using skilled professional volunteers in nonprofits to really help them move forward. And the model that Dallas Social Ventures talks about is exactly that. They've been doing it on the ground for 10 years, and so this is a great example of how One Star would like to collaborate to see how we can help scale that model across the state to work to include more business and corporate leaders in working strategies that help build the social sector.
Stacey, you had mentioned John Wood, who was with Microsoft, and then he goes out and becomes a social entrepreneur. Wasn't it out of Microsoft where Dallas Social, well, actually, the Social Venture Partners started? That's a Microsoft baby, isn't it?
It was indeed. We share that similar startup story. So I think Microsoft has been creating some really brilliant leaders in our nation. I guess it was about 12 years ago now. I used to say 10, but now I've been here 2 years. So 12 years ago, out of Seattle, the social venture partner movement was born, and it came from a couple executives coming out of Microsoft wanting to give back to the community and bring their skill set alongside with them. And so fast forward 12 years, there's 26 of us across the country, around the world, actually. We have several in Canada. We've got one in Japan, and there's rumor that there might be some starting up in Southeast Asia. We're the only ones in Texas right now, in Dallas, but we've been doing this for 10 years. We've given over $1.8 million to 17 different nonprofits in the community. We've engaged over 242 social venture partners in our lifespan. And we are all about impact. We use a venture capital model where we look for those organizations that are ready to move to the next level, and we infuse them with dollars and individuals who have expertise, and we really push them to that next level.
You kind of limit the number of nonprofits that you work with.
Sure.
Is this so that you can maximize the results?
Absolutely. It really is determined on an annual basis where our partnership is and where our investments are. But every year we bring on between 1 to 3 nonprofit organizations through a competitive grant cycle. And our partners are very involved. They're the ones who decide where the investments go, because once we decide we're going to invest in them, we do it with the intention of funding them for 3 to 5 years. And so we really have to find nonprofits in the community who are a good fit and compatible and ready for that next step in their organization.
Are there any needs that you guys really try to focus on? Because there are so many wonderful organizations here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and across the country. There are so many wonderful organizations. Are there any specific needs that you say, okay, you know what? This is where we're going to focus our attention, because this is where we think we're going to do the most good.
Right, absolutely. We have what we call our social investment portfolio, and our portfolio of nonprofits that we serve focus on children and education. So it's somewhat broad in the sense that there's a lot of different missions that can fall under children and education, but that works for us at the same time, because all of our partners are different and unique and have different passions. And so, some of our partners might be very passionate about 0 to 5 early childhood development. And so we have missions that kind of feed that. And then we also have missions that address issues like homelessness and violence prevention. So that blended portfolio works really well with the amount of partners we have.
How do you recruit those partners?
We are citizens who are just like you and me. We look for individuals who are ready to give their time and their treasures. Their talents and treasures is what we say. And on an annual basis, it's $5,000 a year with a 2-year minimum. So you're in for 10. And what that does is it allows us to have some stability in our investments, so that we know that when we bring on a nonprofit organization, we're going to be with them for a while and we can really help see them through.
One Star Foundation, Dallas Social Venture Partners. Elizabeth Seal is the president and CEO of One Star Foundation. Stacey is the executive director of Dallas Social Venture Partners. And we've been talking about the Edward M. Kennedy Serve America Act, and actually just volunteering in general and being smart about it, not wasting our energy, but focusing that volunteerism and making sure that we go the extra mile for these nonprofits. We want to thank DFW Multimedia for their generous support. Also, Kevin Slater, who is the chief engineer. And in closing, Liz, is there one message that you truly want to get across about the Serve America Act and what One Star Foundation is doing to make sure that Texans rise up and start volunteering?
Yes. First, I'd like to I'd like to tell you about a study that we did with Johns Hopkins University on the economic impact of the social sector in the state of Texas. Just one little statistic, which is very interesting. The amount of funding from the five health and human service agencies in the state of Texas that goes to nonprofits to help the state get its business done equals $6.1 billion annually. That is a huge impact of the nonprofit sector within the state. So now, with that thought in mind, the Kennedy Hatch Act and what it means for the state of Texas, it means that we could effectively double our portfolio of AmeriCorps programs within the state. Part of the Kennedy Hatch Act also allows for a waiver for the match requirement in areas of severe economic depression, such as the Colonias. So there are areas of need within the state that this act could specifically address. And if I could also, there are four different funds within the act. Stacy mentioned one, and it's the Social Innovation Fund. This administration has recognized the need for government to help seed innovation in solving social issues. So they've not only created a White House Office of Social Innovation, but a fund that, if appropriated, will be available to states to help seed some of the things that Stacy's been talking about. So we're looking forward to that.
And as far as Dallas Social Venture Partners goes, Stacy?
Sure. Well, I think what's important about this, as you mentioned, Liz, that we have both the Social Innovation Fund as an opportunity to seed the best practices we're seeing on the ground in our communities and move them to scale. We also have the recognition through the capacity building piece that the work that social venture partners have been doing around the country is very important. You can throw all the dollars at a nonprofit that you can possibly find, but it doesn't mean it's going to move the dial on the issue that they're working on unless they have that capacity. And social venture partners are uniquely positioned because they're actually building capacity alongside the funding stream that they provide. So I think it's going to be very important for us as a movement to look at ways in which we can partner with the government entities to access those kinds of dollars to really take our work as social venture partners to the next level.
And work smarter as volunteers.
Absolutely.
And One Star does a great deal of capacity building across the state in trying to help look at how we address nonprofits, working with the Bush School on some innovative strategies in the RGK Center at University of Texas to look more broadly at the importance of building the capacity of the sector.
If somebody wants more information about the One Star Foundation, is there a website they can go to?
There is. It's onestarfoundation.org.
Very easy. OneStarFoundation.org if you want more information about Elizabeth Seals' organization, One Star Foundation, easy as that. And as far as Dallas Social Venture Partners, people want information on how to become a partner.
Absolutely. It's dsvp.org, DallasSocialVenturePartners.org. And Anna, I'm going to squeeze this in. Thank you so much for your time to be here today. We really appreciate having you, and having your familiar voice on our podcast is a delight.
Well, thank you so much, Stacy. It's an honor to be here. Liz, Stacy, thank you so much.
Thank you.